Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes.
it's the Musical Comedy Awards semi-final. We've whittled it down to five acts who are competing to win your vote to get put through into the grand final of the We Got Tickets Musical Comedy Awards on April 25th at the Bloomsbury Theatre.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to a special on-location musical comedy podcast.
Yes, we're at the Black Heart in Camden with Ed. Sorry, I don't know your second name.
Chapel.
From Musical Comedy Awards, and we've just seen the first half of the semi-final. First semi-final, I believe.
It's the second semi-final.
It's the second semi-final.
It's the last show this year at the Black Heart before we go to the Bloomsbury on the 25th of April.
Fantastic.
And how many years has the Musical Comedy Awards been running, Ed?
This is now the sixth year, so it started in 2009. Wow. And back then we just had the videos and the one live final.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the Wilmington Arms from 2010 till last year. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really great, but it turned into a gastro bar. Boo!
Oh.
So
doing the improv.
Yes, I know.
So we were temporarily homeless. But then we went on the hunt and found the Black Heart. So
it's a great venue.
Yeah, I still don't have much of a beard or a motorbike, but it's a really good, great venue.
So how many people do you have applying for the Musical Comedy Awards each year?
We have roughly about 80 to 90 applying each year,
mm-hmm.
And they're mainly sort of gigging comedians who are musical comedians on the circuit. But there's also quite a few complete unknowns who enter the competition as well. And the great thing about the competition is that you have lots of people able to network with each other and find out the musical comedy scene, and then organise spin-off gigs with each other. And then we have established acts headlining so they can get to see the masters and the craft. Sometimes the acts are even better than the headliners. We've unearthed quite a few gems over the years, like, for example, Abandoned Man, Frisky and Manish, Jay Foreman, who's now touring with people like Dave Gorman, Carly Smallman, who's now doing really, really big things. It's just a really, really, really fun hobby business that we do sort of once a year.
That's great. I love it when a competition is actually not about who wins and who loses. Sure, all the acts want to win and they want the publicity and the good stuff, but it's about networking. It's about getting the people who are interested in the same thing together in the same room, and who knows what might happen to the 89 people who don't win.
Yeah.
What made you start the Musical Comedy Awards?
Yeah, well, I always did musical comedy myself, and then I was doing a master's at Warwick in creative and media enterprises.
Nice.
And there was a module called cultural entrepreneurship where we had to come up with a hypothetical business idea. And we had some investors in, and it was basically like a hypothetical thing where you say, I'm going to make the most amazing media toilet roll company. I want 100 million and I'll give you 1%. And I said it would be good to have an independent platform for musical comedy, because musical comedians were often just sort of unwanted sidekicks of the genre.
Yeah.
And at a gig, you'd have a comedian come on with a guitar and the other act would go, boo, he's going to get instant laughter because he's got a guitar.
Huh.
Or the act would go, oh, here comes the musical comedian. When actually there was already some extremely brilliant individual geniuses like Tim Minchin, Bill Bailey, acts like Flight of the Conchords, and I thought, I love musical comedy, I'm sure there's an audience out there for other people, and have an established independent platform to promote the genre.
Yeah.
And it's been very successful. It's been really, really fun.
Because of course, you live in Austria.
Yeah, I live in Vienna. So basically, I'm really lucky that I have Tamara, my amazing assistant. She's the creative director.
Oh, nice.
And she organises all the live shows, mm-hmm. and I do all the kind of promotion and online stuff from Vienna. So it's really nice to actually be over here. I come over twice for the came over twice this year for the competition, but it's quite weird to be sending emails and be this weird foreign overlord. Go hi, go to the show and bring all your friends. And it's actually nice to be at the competition that you organise.
Is there much of a musical comedy scene in Austria?
There is. The funny thing is that there's it's quite a bit more established to have music sort of cabaret in Austria.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I'm kind of unsure about whether or not to launch a competition over there, because it might feel a bit like cultural imperialism to say hi, we have this really successful competition in the UK and you already have musical comedy, but now you have it rebranded as.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we sort of only the last couple of years we've started making connections with people across Europe, and it's really nice actually, because I think that's the one thing, when you have more of a kind of niche approach to what you do, it does kind of bring people together. Musical improv is such a small world.
Yeah.
but lots of people are into it, know each other.
Well, as a result, if there's someone who is into it, you automatically want to connect, because it's like, wow, you're into this like ridiculously niche thing too. But would you say that musical comedy is on the rise? Are you noticing more interest in it or more acts coming through you?
Yeah, I mean, we were very happy this year to have loads and loads of new acts that we'd never come across before. In previous years, we have had some people that have, you know, entered and then entered again next year and used it as a platform to sort of develop and get better. And then maybe they started, went out the first round 1 year and then got into the final next year. Or, for example, Hill and Whedon, they got into the first round and then they went out, and the next year they won it. So lots of acts.
And I guess it kind of builds itself, doesn't it? People see, as you mentioned, the names like Tim Minchin and, you know, the acts that are out there, inspiring people to come through and give it a go themselves. Because the music industry is an incredibly hard industry to break through, especially at the moment, but maybe musical comedy has got that kind of a little bit of space that you can be heard.
What would your advice be to somebody wanting to go into musical comedy?
My advice would be to enter the Musical Comedy Awards.
Of course.
And also to just try and do as many open mic gigs as possible. Maybe try a variety of different characters, you know, kind of thinking, okay, so I'm going to... Because sometimes it can be quite liberating to just go on stage as a character. If you're quite nervous about being yourself, probably some of the most successful comedians are being themselves. But that takes a great deal of confidence to actually just go on stage and really be yourself. But maybe to sort of sometimes to get started to try it as a character where you feel that you're going and you're stepping into a character and it's not you, so you can really go for it. Just try and do as many gigs as possible. Move to Austria and be a native speaker teacher.
Okay, yeah.
And
actually, I have something we should ask. Do you get much musical improv in your competition, and how do you see that fitting in with the world of...
The funny, we haven't actually had that much musical improv, and we would love to have it. We would really love to have more musical improv. I mean, every time we go to the Edinburgh Festival, there's so many brilliant musical improv acts. So that's definitely one thing that we'd like to have more of next year.
Great. Well, if you're listening, get down. Yeah. We've got to go back in and watch the second half, but if people want to get hold of you, what are your what are the ways?
Yeah, our Facebook group, Musical Comedy Awards. Our website is musicalcomedyawards.com. And you can also contact me personally at ed@musicalcomedy.co.uk.
Brilliant. And do you need to have any qualifications or history or anything like that? Or is it just you look at all applications?
You need to pay €800,000 into an account in Bulgaria under the name... Black card, secret account, secret account. Please, 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 please help me buy myself a Lamborghini. But yeah, apart from that, no other.
Great. Okay, so start saving, guys.
Sure, yeah. Thanks so much for talking to us, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks so much.
47 photos of her wearing a stupid fucking red hat from the beach from July 12, 2009, huh? Huh? Why won't she accept my friend? I am crazy about you. I kidnap your dog, you call the police. That's just classic banter, though. You and me, I am crazy about you. Someday I'm gonna murder you and make it look like an accident. Maybe then we can be friends. Thanks very much for listening to me on this.
Hello.
We're here with Steve Bennett, who has just taken part in the second semi-final of the Musical Comedy Awards.
Yay!
How did it go for you?
It was fun. I was a bit nervous about being first up for the show today.
That's
never easy.
That's always a tough spot, isn't it?
It is, but the crowd were quite nice, so they got on board and they were good fun.
Great. And you're over from Ireland?
I am.
Did you come over just for this?
I did, indeed, I'm visiting some friends as well, but I'm just doing a whirlwind visit. I'm over and then I'm going back in a couple of hours.
Dedication to the...
I live in Galway. It's on the west coast, so it's about as far away in Ireland as you can kind of get, really.
You have a comedy festival over there?
We do, indeed, yeah. We've got the Galway Comedy Festival is on each October now, and it's a hell of a festival. I took part in it last year. It's really good fun.
Excellent news.
Yeah, some really big names came over, and it was a really, really good festival. Really nice to be a part of that one.
Fantastic. How long have you been doing this?
Oh, a couple of years, really. I only started taking it seriously enough before the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2012.
Okay.
So I did a show in Edinburgh, and then last year in 2013 I did my solo show in bits.
And why musical song?
I don't know, I think songs, musical comedy songs, have a bit more longevity than regular stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's it takes longer to write a song, but when you write a song that really hits the nail on the head, people won't mind listening to it again and again.
Yeah.
Whereas a joke or a bit of material might get old real fast.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
I noticed something today which is interesting in that you seem to be yourself on stage.
Right.
Mm. Whereas quite a few of the acts today have kind of had like a persona or certainly like a strong choice.
Okay.
That may be like an exaggeration of their persona or not. Like, what is it that made you decide to be you?
I really didn't think about doing it any other way, to be honest with you. It just, honestly, not even second nature, just first nature.
Yeah.
For me, comedy, it's quite an honest thing, and I'd like to be myself up there.
Yeah.
I would say it's probably a certain version of myself. It might be a little bit different than if you talk to me just in my living room, but
yeah.
I don't know any other way to do it. That's just the way. I've never thought about doing a persona.
Yeah.
I just haven't done it.
Yeah.
I was interested if there's a special kind of fear that goes with doing music and comedy together.
Wow.
That's greater than the just comedy or the just music fear.
There's probably the idea that there's more variables that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, everybody who does comedy gets nervous.
Yeah.
I certainly do every time before I go on stage. And that's the reason I do it. It's because I get nervous every time. If I didn't get nervous, I'd kind of be
What's
bored. I probably wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
It's a thrill. Like, it's a rush doing it. So
sure.
The other thing that goes with that is music. And I'm sure musicians have the same thing. You want to get everything perfect before you go on stage. You want to make sure the guitar or the ukulele or whatever is in tune.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that your voice is warmed up and that you can do all the bits that you need to do. Like, I've missed notes and I've gotten them out of key and everything like that. That all goes wrong. Sometimes the guitar, the ukulele will be out of tune. That happens, you know.
Yeah.
You fix it, I guess. But I guess it's just a special kind of thing in that more things can go wrong.
Mm.
You know, the songs could be really funny, the jokes could all be in the right place, but if the guitar is completely out of tune, you could be screwed, you know.
And the audience as well with comedy. I mean, you never know, do you? If your audience is going to be warm, if they're going to be receptive,
you can do the same show to
completely different houses.
But I guess it's I see it like it's your job as a comedian to, like, audiences obviously vary, and there will be times where no one could have saved that gig. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's gigs that I definitely have in my past where I'm like, nobody could have rocked that gig, you know. And like, you know, that makes you feel better when you mess one up royally.
That's a nice way of looking at it.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you should be able to get most gigs and bring them back around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If there's an audience there, you should be able to make them laugh.
Yeah. Do you think that helps because you are yourself, that you can respond a little bit more to how the audience are?
I suppose so. I can quip quicker if somebody heckles. I hope that if I had to think of things, what would my character say?
Yeah.
It might take me a minute longer.
Yeah.
But if I can just answer back like I would if someone had go at me on the street, I'd yell back right away.
And you have the Irish blood in you, which has got to help, right?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, it hasn't done me any harm so far, but again, I don't know any other way.
I can't stop thinking about the fact that if you shaved your beard off, you looked like a baby, and that's all I can think about.
Right, okay.
That's the material of Steve Bennett. Come and see him if you want that.
Splice that into this interview.
We need to go back inside now, but if people want to find you, Steve, how can they find you?
I've got a website called stevebennettcomedy.com.
Nice.
Thank you, Steve Bennett.
Thank you. Have a nice trip back to Ireland.
I will, of course.
And we'll look out for you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Good luck.
Okay, so we're here with Lawrence Owen, which you took pains to let us know your name on stage, which I really liked, actually.
Yeah.
It was like, okay.
The number of times I get misspelt with W's is...
You're Lawrence with a U.
I'm Lawrence with a U.
Mm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to start with a song about a major annual holiday. It's probably everybody's favourite major annual holiday. It's certainly mine. The most magical time of the year, I'm sure you'll agree. And that is, of course, Halloween. But there's been something that's been bothering me, and it's bothered me for many years every Halloween. I've only just last year managed to put these bothersome thoughts into words. And I've set those words to music for you now. We like a bit of dressing up. It helps to numb the pain and make our pointless lives a bit less crushingly mundane. But if come Halloween your costume is a sexy cat, then that's not scary, clever, or amusing. You're a twat! Some whiskers in mascara and a little pair of ears aren't exactly the embodiment of all my mortal fears. Sure, you may not have gone for horror, but just show a little care. If you can make a costume just by adding sexy, why stop there? I'm a sexy rhesus monkey, look upon my splendid arse. I'm a sexy snail, just left a trail of semen in your grass. I'm a sexy walrus, won't you be my sexy walrus, bitch? I'm a sexy duck-billed platypus, and I don't know which end's which. Sorry. This is just something you're going to have to figure out on your own.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you
indeed.
Very much.
You just got through to the final of the Musical Comedy Awards.
I'm delighted with that.
Yeah, I bet you are.
And may we say you very, very much deserved it.
Thank
yes,
you.
I totally agree. I
Thank
loved
you.
Your set.
Oh, that's very kind
hilarious.
Of you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And kind of, you're a proper musician.
Yeah, we were admiring your guitar playing.
Oh, right.
You've got some genres there, and I suspect there's a few more that you can probably handle as well.
It wouldn't be gentlemanly to say. Basically my other sort of line of work is I'm a composer. Mm-hmm. So I do bits and bobs. But, I mean, I used to gig a lot as a musician doing sort of straight songs in acoustic music clubs and stuff, but I found increasingly that they didn't really like it, because I started writing comic songs kind of by accident, and they sort of weren't really there to be made to laugh, so they really didn't like it. So I kind of ended up doing comedy by mistake.
So the straight music audience didn't like the comedy?
No, they didn't. It's strange. Yeah. So for a while I kind of thought, oh, I don't know, is anyone liking this? But then I sort of stumbled my way into comedy and cabaret and kind of haven't really looked back.
I was quite an early developer. I was 3. I'd like to tell you about this now. At 3 years old, I grew to love a luscious mother figure. She bent to choose those letters, and my little heart grew bigger. From cherry rosebud lips poured forth the milk and holly lashings. Those rounded vowels so pert and firm brought out my early bashings. Oh, lovely Carol Vorderman, to blow my little trumpet. I think it's fair to say you were the thinking toddler's crumpet.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I mean that as a compliment. By
yeah, way. No, I take that.
But it's interesting because I think you look at a lot of these competitions or anything. Actually, a lot of comedians will use music as a vehicle for the comedy.
Yeah.
But with you, very much, I felt like you're a musician who was writing interesting, funny songs. That's what came across to me, anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, I like the fact that you were you on stage. I felt like I was getting to know you because, I mean, maybe that's not you, but it felt like
slightly,
it was.
It's a sort of slightly slightly grumpier, dirtier version of myself,
yeah,
maybe. But
there was no heavy reliance on character or whatever. Yeah,
I suppose not. It's a kind of it's a fairly thin persona, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just a bit more sour-faced, perhaps. But, I appreciate you saying that. When I write, I try to make sort of songs first and then kind of weave in the funnies later on, you know.
How do you find the creative process? Is it hard work?
It's quite, well, I don't know, it's quite tough, but then when you kind of, after you sort of break through that initial sort of hurdle, then it kind of it gets a little bit easier. I usually leave my house because I find the internet and my sort of Netflix incredibly distracting, but I quite like to go sort of to a cafe and then write lyrics and then come home and sort of fit them to music. So I usually start, do it that way around. Mm-hmm. But quite often I will scratch my head for ages before actually coming to anything. We did a thing recently, which I don't know if I'm allowed to plug this, but
of course you are, yeah.
It was just such a good thing. There's a comedian called Joe Wells who organised a world record attempt for the longest ever stand-up comedy show in Portsmouth at Fratton Park Football Club. It was 84 hours long.
Oh!
And I was on at 9 a.m.
Okay, oh, that's a great slot.
Yeah. They say that's the sweet spot.
Yeah,
that's
definitely,
what
yeah.
And Madame Magenta, who was on tonight as well at the musical comedy, she was on it immediately before me at 8 a.m. And amazingly, it was surprisingly warm.
Okay.
And kind of, they'd been up for like 36 hours.
Ooh.
And they were sort of taking it in shifts because they had to have a minimum of 10 people there the whole time. But it was such a delight, actually. I can't remember why I started telling you this. What were we talking about before?
No idea. Well, it reminds me of the improvathon. Where...
Yeah, oh, I know. Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they've officially beaten the record yet, but I know that Guinness got in touch to say, well done, guys. We didn't expect you to last this long. I remembered why I started telling you this. Because I wrote... There was a song that I'd been struggling with writing for about 6 weeks, and I had said to myself, I'm going to open with it at this world record thing at 9 a.m. And so and then I kind of thought, well, okay, I've got to write this now, and so I ended up having not been able to write it for weeks and weeks, suddenly sort of splurging it all out in the Ibis Hotel next to the venue in Portsmouth. So I find that pressure helps quite a lot.
I can agree with that.
Thanks so much for talking to
us. That's a total pleasure. Thank you.
How can people find you if they're interested online?
My website is www.mrlaurenceowen, that's M-R, LaurenceOwen.com. And I'm also on Twitter at Laurence Owen.
And you'll be appearing at the Musical Comedy Awards final.
I will.
On April the 25th.
At the Bloomsbury.
Joe remembered a date. Yeah. Historic event, everybody that listens to this podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Still, even time and space, I could hear people gasping all over the place, because that's the first time that we saw a face, and now I've got to say, she was triple FA, yeah, she was bit from far away, she was triple FA, yeah, she was bit from far away, her face looks like a leather purse, please approach me in reverse, you Triple
FA. Okay, so hello, we're here with Joe from Rogue 5.
Yes, we are.
Congratulations.
Indeed.
You. Are you basking in your glory?
I am. I'm still working out how we managed to get through. And there was one member missing, but it was...
Yeah, you're one man down.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have known, because it just looked like that was part of your act.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not that important anyway.
Right.
So.
Do you want to name check him, maybe, just so he doesn't feel so bad?
Yes. Screw you. Yeah, we're not having that. He's not even Scottish, but there he is.
Oh, well, yeah.
So we just watched Rogue 5, who do a parody, a very, very good parody, of a boy band.
We've talked about parodies before, right? And there's one thing that I love about a parody, which is when it is true to the genre. When you could genuinely do that, right?
Oh, right, yeah. What, being a boy band? Absolutely.
Yeah, whatever the genre is. Like, you've got the looks, you've got the voice, you've got the act.
Do you know, we always say that we could have been a boy band, and then we started gaining weight, and that's when it started looking funny.
But, I mean, seriously, the style, the parody, is very, very accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, are you a musician? What's your background?
Yeah, I was in bands for years and years and years, and... I started doing stand-up about 5 years ago now, and it kind of melding the two together is kind of how it all happened, really. So yeah, all of the backing tracks and songs. I mean, I wrote the songs and played on all the backing tracks and all of that kind of stuff, and produced it with the help of others. But yeah, so it's all genuinely, you know, we haven't got someone behind the scenes going, we're not boy bandish in that way, you know. You play this.
Yeah. And, like, it did take me a while to think, are they lip syncing this? Because that sounds really quite good. It's like their harmonies are actually good harmonies.
Right?
And then I was like, no, you guys are actually singing.
Oh, well, cheers.
You've got really good voices, whatever.
And then you virtually raped that guy
in
the last song.
Yeah, I just fancied him.
He was pretty hot. Yeah.
He's a good looking boy, isn't he? The glasses came off and you went, oh, wow, yeah. It's handy as well, because when they're not so good looking,
if anyone ever goes to see Rogue 5, don't sit in the first four rows
unless you're really hot
or unless you want to be molested.
Would you say you went a little bit further because he was attractive?
We didn't go that far, to be honest. In the clubs, it's a bit... I mean, if there's a stag night...
How could you possibly go further?
I don't really like to
say... Other than actually whacking it out.
it gets pretty real. It gets really pretty real.
Good.
Wow. Well, there you go. If you haven't had sex for a while, and you're a man.
We're happy to oblige. Absolutely.
So where did you guys start out, and where did you meet?
Well, me and Darcy, who wasn't here today, we met when we were 8 at a stage school in Streatham. Yeah, and we used to do lots of improvising together and all of that kind of stuff. And Keith went to college with my wife, so I met him through that. And it was weird because me and Darcy were doing open miking sort of on our own, but like together, sort of spotting each other and stuff. And when I started putting this together, I was like, okay, who can I rely on that's funny, that looks the part and has the skills, and it kind of became what it became.
Well, we really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Try and come and see you with all three of you sometime.
Yeah. If people want to find you out there on the internet, where do they go?
We've got a lot going on Twitter, which is Rogue5Band, or on Facebook there as well. But we've got our website, which is rogue5band.com.
Brilliant.
Great. Check them
out. Thank you so much,
Joe. Thank you very much.
Thanks
and congratulations.
Much.
See you in the final.
Cheers.
Bye. See you later.